Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and that man over there is Tim Dennis, sitting at the Supernatural News Desk. Hello, Tim.
Hiya.
Hey, do you mind if I address a couple of things real quick, like?
Sure.
Okay, first of all, Holster Files blew out. It was great. We had a great time on it. Now, two episodes under our belt. I hope you guys are enjoying it as much as we enjoyed filming it. And thank you all so much for the continued support, retweets, postings about it. Just make sure you're watching the show. That's the main thing. If you love this show, Beyond the Darkness, then make sure that you help support the other endeavors. And I would really appreciate it if you DVR the shows that you watch them within 48 hours, or at least have them on in the background so that they count towards the ratings. We'd love to continue to do the show and continue to build Beyond the Darkness's audience even further than it already is. So tune in for that. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. And I got to tell you, dude, next week we have a huge episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I for the first time in 13 years of actively paranormal investigating, I get knocked to my ass by a ghost.
Really?
Dude, I can't even tell you how unprepared I am for what took place. There were a couple things. I got violated twice in that home. The first one I don't think they're going to show, but something definitely grabbed me very inappropriately. When I was doing an interview, and it shook me up. I was like, what the hell? It, you know, the person I was speaking to said, hey, you know, the spirit up here in this area does not like men in authority, does not like guys that think they're in charge. So while she's saying that, I'm kind of thinking to myself, hey, what can I do? What can I do here to kind of come across authoritative, but not be a dick, you know, because I want to be respectful of the ghosts. And as I'm trying to think of that, something grabbed me very inappropriately, and I was thrown, and it was very strange. I don't know that it'll show on camera because I don't think it conveys well or moves our story forward, but that was one. A little later on in the episode, when we kind of uncovered this, we're at the Whaley House, which is considered one of the most haunted houses in the United States. While we're there, we uncover an interesting part of their history that had been long forgotten. And we think to the bottom of the root cause of who's kind of causing this disturbance at the Whaley House. And it did not like being called out. That's all I'll tell you. I get chucked like a linebacker. I get hit into Shane Pittman, the equipment tech on our show.
Yeah.
And that poor guy gets, not only does he get hit by me, but he gets crushed into a wall.
Oof.
Yeah, so he took the hit from both sides. It is crazy. It's a great story. It's really intriguing what we uncover. There were some emotional parts on the episode for me, but that's next week's episode. The week after, October 24th, we're going to face the devil in Texas. And this is a very powerful story, a case that Hans Holzer looked into and tried to bring help to somebody who believed that he was possessed by a demon. That story does not end well. And sparks an investigation into someone current day who was going through very similar situation and asking for my help. So I bring the team in and we investigate a current haunting that Hans Holzer was not involved in, but it's mirroring what he dealt with the devil in Texas case. It's uncanny. Very powerful, very emotional story. So I hope you'll tune in and check. Those are just the next couple of weeks of the episode. And I got to also say, man, I was part of that Salem Live show.
Yeah, yeah.
And first of all, Tim, thanks for all the support, man. I love the comments and being out there and helping to promote these other projects for me to the listeners and to your friends and fan base. So I do appreciate that. And, you know, during Salem Live last week on Friday, we, you know, they did something pretty unprecedented. You know, there's been Ghost Hunters Live. There's been the Tennessee Wraith Chasers Live. Mm-hmm. There's been Ghost Hunters Live. But this was the first time they've ever combined forces with multiple shows.
Right.
You had comedian and actor Jamie Kaler as your host. I got to be kind of the second banana to Jamie with some of the history and understanding, kind of trying to be the voice of the audience between Jamie, what was going on in the audience itself. And then we had team members from Kindred Spirits, Amy mm-hmm. Bruni, Adam Berry, and Chip Coffee. We had the Ghost Brothers, Dalen, Marcus, and Juwan, and they worked with medium Cindy Keza from the Holzer Files. We also had... what else was her? Gosh, my mind just went blank. It was, Portals to Hell, Jack Osborne, yep. And Katrina Weidman. And for the record, I believe all hatchets have been buried. Jack Osborne was very kind and great to hang out with, and so was Katrina. She's always a gem. And we just got to see and do some really great things. Michelle Bellanger was a part of the show. And she was kind of the medium working with them. And I'll tell you, we saw some weird stuff, had some weird activity. There was so much weirdness going on that it was shutting down parts of production. They couldn't make sense of. We were having technical glitches like crazy because I honestly believe it had something to do with the energy that was going on.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was bonkers, but it was a great time. A lot of weird stuff happening. You know, there was a couple of special guests that were brought on that got a little out of hand.
I saw that towards the end of the program. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I can't, mm-hmm. I was not her, so I can't say if she was being possessed or dealing with the true supernatural or if there was something else going on. I have a feeling there was something else going on, but
right, yeah.
I, you know, I don't want to discount any personal experience that person might have believed that they were having as well. But it was a great time had by all. Ton of audience. As a matter of fact, they crushed records on the online presence as well. For that live show. And we were, I think we were trending number two.
Really?
Throughout the entire show, all 4 hours of the live show. So, I think we were only being beaten by like Prince's Hot Pants or something. I don't know. It was some other ridiculous hashtag, but, we were a big part of that. So that's pretty cool.
Well, if I can add this, I know the one guest you're talking about that was with Jack and Katrina and Michelle, I know they took the liberty of removing that guest, which in my opinion was the right thing to do at the time. And
agreed.
It was absolutely the right thing to do. And everything that was done was appropriate in its moment. And really it was handled quite professionally. And I thought it was an excellent job. It was across the board, a very entertaining program to watch. I
got to give a lot of credit to Michelle Bellanger because in that moment with Jack Osborne and Katrina and when this guest started kind of freaking out a little bit with their connection to the other side, mm-hmm. you could see the disturbed look on everybody's faces. And Michelle Bellanger stepped in like a crisis counselor.
Yes. Yep.
And her voice became very calming. And she was very just so relaxing watching her take this woman down.
Yep.
From the heightened escalated sense she was in was genius. She she really did well. So I congratulate Michelle Bellanger on that because that really did set a totally different tone to that. What could have been a debacle.
Yeah.
She turned into something pretty remarkable. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
So lots of fun, man. I'm just loving it. I'm so blown away by the support and love from our listeners and the comments. And, you know, I've gotten some negative comments about the shows I've been a part of. But truthfully, even in the negative comments, they've been very complimentary towards me. And I appreciate that. So, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed when you make your complaints. And, you know, there are aspects of the show that you'd like to see done differently. And people are always listening and always watching. So you might be surprised. But again, you know, when you contact or post things and you have polite insights and tips, those do go a lot farther than you're an effing fraud and you're a piece of S and, you know, I'll be honest with you, nobody bothers reading the rest of your message, and you may have had some great insight, but we'll never see it because it was masked by your ignorance.
Yeah.
So start off and just, you know, be honest. What did you like about these episodes? What do you think could have been done differently? You know, you never know what could change in the future. So that's that. That's what's going on. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Lots of fun stuff. And I couldn't be more pleased with everything that's going on. You know what I'm not pleased with, though, Tim?
What's that?
We're kind of getting our ass kicked in the psychic world of football picks.
Ooh, geez, yeah. I've come to a conclusion over the past 2 weeks,
okay,
Dave, and I think this is a very skeptical, scientific conclusion that I've come to. The NFL is rigged.
It's got to be. It can't be that we're possibly just horribly bad at picking games.
No.
It's got to be that it's rigged. It's got to be.
Dude, I am telling you, I have sat down and I've broke down a lot of NFL film in the last 2 weeks, and there is no way. There is no way that there are some teams that are losing some of these games that have any excuse to be losing some of them.
You know, that's the problem with professional sports. Games you think are a lock end up blowing like the wind. Games that you don't expect come out and they're just explosive and fun. But I guess that's why we love the game. Every Sunday, you never know what you're going to see. And we are part of the betonline.ag program. It's our NFL weekly pick'em charity contest. And we've got a lot of great things going on. As a matter of fact, you know, there are hosts from all across Podcast One platforms. We're all picking our favorite teams, our locks for the week. And if we're right, there's a $500 reward each week to give out as a winning to five of our listeners. So if our team happens to score the most points that week, which has yet to happen because obviously it's rigged, mm-hmm. and you know, the sun got in their eyes or whatever reason, Tim and I have just been, and we haven't been horribly off. A lot of the weeks we were only off by a game. It just seems like we can't catch up or get back ahead. But you know, we're still doing better than some of the boneheads out there, Tim.
Like CarCast. CarCast is horrible.
I don't want to call names, but as long as you will, I'm fine with it. Listen, this has also got a $5,000 season-long charity contest that's involved. The competition's been a lot of fun, watching all these different show hosts chime in and play along. And we're not going to be outdone. This week, this is our bounce-back week. Tim and I, the great football minds that we are, we have come together in a whirlwind of numbers. We sat there eating Oreos and drinking red Kool-Aid while figuring this thing out in our underwear, wearing nothing but nuns habits and Native American feathers, just trying to get any kind of insight from the other world on this. And I think this is our teams. All right, Tim, what have we got for our lock this week?
Well, Dave, one of our picks was a Thursday night game, so at the time we're doing this, we could either tell people whether we were right, wrong, or indifferent. We'll just choose to stay silent, though, because we don't want to look stupid. So here are the four picks for Sunday that we can just go ahead and tell people whether we were right, wrong, or indifferent, because Sunday hasn't happened yet. Here's the deal. Saints at Jaguars. Dave, it's a tale of two Minshews here on the Jaguars side. You've got the Minshew fever going on over there as far as the Jaguars' backup quarterback goes. We all know that the Saints have Teddy Bridgewater as their backup quarterback. And Teddy Two Gloves seems to be doing a hell of a job. And for Drew Brees, has actually started throwing now. He's so nervous that Teddy's doing such a good job with the Saints so soon after thumb surgery, reconstructive thumb surgery. Even though the Saints are on the road, the Saints have been kicking some butt with Teddy at quarterback. We're picking the Saints over the Jaguars.
Okay, Saints over Jaguars.
Yep.
What about the Ravens game? Which way do you see this slant going?
Well, the lowly Bengals, Dave, are one of only four teams that, if the season ended tomorrow, would have one of the top four draft picks in the league. Again, I say lowly Bengals. That's your clue there, Dave. That's the reason we're picking the Ravens at home to beat the Bengals.
Correct.
Right.
All right, let's go to what used to be known as America's team, Dallas Cowboys. Tim, where do you feel this one's going to play out?
Well, even though Dak Prescott is up and down with the Dallas Cowboys, you do have the lowly Jets, Dave, at home. J-E-T-S. doesn't necessarily inspire anybody to do anything. The Jets really have had a terrible, terrible season, yet the Dallas Cowboys still are looking halfway decent. I think the Cowboys are a decent pick there to beat the Jets at home.
All right. Chiefs, what do we think? I love my Pat Mahomes. Where are we going to go this week, though? He's been struggling a little bit the last couple of weeks.
He has, but here's the deal, Dave. The Colts were doing the Indianapolis stomp all over Pat Mahomes' ankle last week, and that's why Pat Mahomes wasn't able to get out of the pocket and look like himself. They then turned up the heat with the blitz, and Pat Mahomes wasn't able to get out of the pocket and throw the ball. He will be a lot better this week, and he may be getting a weapon or two back this week as well. The Chiefs will look much better, and they're at home against the Texans. Now, the Texans are a little bit tougher team than the Indianapolis Colts, but I think they tighten up the defense a little bit, and I think the Chiefs come back a little bit as well. When they did a video game simulation, I think it was over 60 times, the Chiefs come out 70% of the time winning this game. So I think we picked the Chiefs in this one.
Did you just say that 60% of the time, 70% of the time they win?
No, 70% of the time they win in this one. Gotcha. It's the Chiefs over the Texans.
Now, we also picked the Patriots as our lock. We picked the score of 27-10. You can see how well or unwell we did on that. That's that. Now, guys, be a part of it. If you love football as much as Tim and I and want to be a part of this, go make your picks. Be a part of this because it's so cool. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget the promo code PODCAST1, PODCASTONE, for your 50% sign-up bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Tim, where are we going to go in the world of supernatural news today?
Well, I got to get out of football mode here, Dave. Okay, we're going to go, first of all, you know what? Let's start with a planet hunting story, an alien life first.
Very, very quiet. I'm hunting planets.
Yeah. I don't think we have to be that quiet. Aliens, actually, planets don't jump around that much. So we can actually be quite noisy.
Nice.
Yeah. Cambridge University planet hunter says mankind could find alien life in 30 years. And this as he wins the Nobel Prize, Dave. He's celebrating by telling us, hey, we can keep accomplishing. He's a go-getter. A Cambridge University planet hunter said on Tuesday that mankind could detect alien life within the next 30 years after winning the Nobel Prize. Not that we're all going to win the Nobel Prize and then detect alien life. He won the Nobel Prize and then said, hey, why not? We can do whatever we want. Didier Queloz, that's a heck of a name, who's a PhD student, discovered the first planet outside our solar system, said he is convinced by the existence of extraterrestrial life. The now 52-year-old Swiss astronomer is one of three to share this year's 740,000-pound physics prize. 24 years in the discovery of more than 4,000 new exoplanets on from his original breakthrough. There are now more than 100 celestial objects named after him, Dave. Did you know?
Wow.
Yeah. There
are 100.
There are 100 celestial objects named Didier.
And P. Diddy is not suing on any of them?
No, none of them. No, it's close, but not quite. Yeah. It's Didier.
Yeah, close.
Yeah. Speaking in London on Tuesday, he said, I can't believe we are the only living entity in the universe. There are just way too many planets, way too many stars, and the chemistry is universal. The chemistry that led to life has to happen elsewhere. Professor Queloz, who has worked at the University of Cambridge since 2013, said he was certain that alien life will have been detected from Earth within 100 years, but he added it is realistic that a new machine capable of better understanding any biochemical activity taking place on exoplanets could be built within 30. He revealed that his day had started badly with punctured bicycle tire, followed by a tense fundraising meeting. This is just, he's not living his best life, Dave, in which he ignored the call from the Nobel Committee informing him on his life-changing win. That's right, even prize-winning physicists have issues. The father of two was eventually informed by university staff, at which point he blacked out for 2 minutes because it's a rough life. The 1995 discovery of 51 Pegasi B, a gaseous ball comparable with Jupiter, sparked a revolution in astronomy and a new field that is now considered the best hope for detecting alien life. We opened a new window in astrophysics. We demonstrated that there are other planets like the one we have orbiting our solar system, he said. It was expanding our horizons, and once you start doing that, there are a lot of questions you can start asking. Why are we like R? Is the question he asked. Why are we like R? That's a different question.
That's a weird way to pose it.
It is. Professor Kalos shares this year's physics award with James Peebles, a Canadian scientist based at Princeton University, who is credited with discovering clues about the primitive state of the universe from microwave radiation that filled the cosmos 400,000 years after the Big Bang. It also heated up a burrito on the other side of the cosmos. The third recipient is Michael Mayer, who was Kalos's PhD supervisor when he discovered the first exoplanet. Professor Kalos said he was, or had been attracted rather, to Cambridge by its refreshing diversity of talent, and that he believed the UK was an amazing place to do science. He added that, though not a believer himself, science inherited a lot from religions. In a way, science is part of this process about being curious about the world, he said. Searching for life on exoplanets is formally part of the research agendas of both NASA and the European Space Agency. Last month, the discovery of water on a super-Earth planet called K2-18b caused scientists to say that it is the first identified that could realistically support life. Professor Kalos and Mayer discovered 51 Pegasus b using a technique called Doppler spectroscopy, which measures...
Well, I had one of those a couple of months ago.
Did you?
You know, once you get 50, Tim, you've got to have that Doppler spectroscopy just to make sure that all your pipes are clean. Spectoscopy. I don't know, Tim. It's where they go up visiting Uranus, the planet.
Oh, Tim, yes.
And check out and make sure the Milky Way is clear.
I see. That Doppler spectroscopy, yes, which measures the tiny wobbles of a star as both it and a planet move around as a center of gravity. If you have a center of gravity in you, you probably have done something wrong in Congress. I'm just saying.
Wouldn't that have been Ted Kennedy? He had quite a center of gravity.
He did. That's how he got caught at Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick!
So that's the name of that story there, Dave. On a side note... there's something quite disturbing that I heard on the radio this week that I do have another UFO story I wanted to follow up with, but this has been on my mind like all week, and I had to bring it up to you this week.
Okay, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What's on Tim's Mind? Mind.
AKA Short Attention Span Theater.
Okay.
Okay, so this is disturbing to me, and I figured you would be able to relate, because I know if you had this on your mind all week, you would be waiting to tell me this with bated breath. So I'm listening to Howard Stern, because I have Sirius XM in the car, and he has Arnold Schwarzenegger on, and this is right after Ginger Baker died. And so of all things that Arnie says to Howard Stern, he's, Howard is a huge fan of Cream, the band Cream. And he says, rest in peace, Ginger Baker. We know you're up there in heaven. To which Arnold Schwarzenegger says, oh, no, Ginger's not in heaven. He's rotting in the ground. Do you not find that disturbing?
Wow. Way to dash some thoughts there, Arnie.
Right.
Yeah, he's rotting in the ground. There's no place for his soul in heaven.
Well, I don't think Arnie believes in heaven.
To take it to another
right
much more hysterical place. Apparently death and rotting in the ground is nothing people find particularly funny.
No, I was in Howard kind of fixated on it for the rest of the program, where he was like, evidently Arnold just believes that Ginger Baker is just rotting in the ground. And they were all kind of, you know, it was very morbid. It was very...
Mm.
Yeah.
That is a bit bothersome. Arnold, give us a call at 651-300-4977. Tell us your thoughts on the paranormal.
Yeah. Yeah, David, Tim, I'm calling because I think that the ghostnesses in my house will not go anywhere because their bodies are rotting in the ground.
I don't know
what that sounded like to me. It sounded like Rolf the dog. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just a one trick pony.
No. I thought you nailed that. I thought you.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome to the Muppet Show. I'm going to play piano now for Kermit.
Yep. It sounds just like Rolf the dog. You're right. I can't pull it off. I got to quit while I'm ahead. All right. Speaking of calling in, 651-300-4977. That's our Voices from Beyond voicemail. And you know what's terrifying, Tim?
What's that?
Only one person called in to share this week, no matter how many times we give the number.
Yeah.
How many times I threaten to give out your home phone number if people don't call in. Nobody calls, Tim. They're so chicken. They'll send me emails, quaint little messages. Do me a favor, folks. Stop sending me your stories on Facebook and Twitter. Just email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I forget about them on Facebook and Twitter. I get hundreds of messages a week and they just get buried. So if you send them to me at dave@darknessradio.com, I put them in a folder and then I can revisit with them. But if you want to call in and share your story, 651-300-4977. Here's to you, lone brave caller.
Hi, Dave and Tim. This is Corey Vaughn in Missouri. I debated on calling this number for about a year now, or however many months it's been since you've established it. I believe my family may be sensitive to the paranormal. My mother's had experiences involving Ouija boards and sightings. My grandfather, he's had sightings and feelings when entering houses and rooms and dealing with people, and I myself have had several sightings and interactions with what I believe to be spirits over the years. I used to work at a hospital for 6 years as a security guard, and every night there was something going on that I noticed that maybe the staff didn't. Several times there were witnesses to what had happened, and everybody just chalked it up to, well, the building's haunted. I could literally talk for hours about all the different things that have happened over the years to my family and myself and at the hospital that I used to work at. I know I only have a limited amount of time on the phone. Keep up the fantastic work on the podcast, and can't wait till the next episode. Thank you.
Well worth it. Well worth it. Thank you for being the lone voice of justice this week, sharing your tale of supernatural wonder. We appreciate it. Next week, we want to hear from you folks. We're coming into Halloween. Stop being so damn stingy, Ebenezer Scrooges of the supernatural. Share your stories with us. 651-300-4977. Let's hear your voices. We want to hear the stories come out of your mouth. You have 3 minutes to leave us a story. And if the story goes longer, just call right back and continue. Tim will piece all these together and we will have one great story to share. That's what we need from you. Speaking of what I need from people, Tim.
Yes.
I need to know what else is going on in the world of supernatural news, sucker.
Wow, you called me sucker.
My fault, the dog is Mr. T.
Oh, okay. I see. The UFO seekers flocking to a remote Thai hilltopper in search of Buddhist aliens. I didn't know they existed, but they're out there evidently. We go to Nakhon Sawan, Dave, which I always thought was a Buddhist boxer, but evidently not. It's a hilltop in central Thailand.
A hilltop in central Thailand.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. And it's attracting UFO seekers who believe extraterrestrials hover above a huge Buddha statue. Ooh. And they also send telepathic communiques and walk across nearby sugarcane fields and use a crocodile-infested lake as a portal from their planets. Pluto and Loku. Bet you didn't know that.
Pluto and Loku?
Yeah, Pluto and Loku.
I don't remember that. Was that like Mickey's hamster that went missing?
I believe so. You don't want to know where it went missing.
Come on, pal. Was Goofy felching again?
I think so, yes.
Oh, good God. All right, go on.
Mickey felching. I love that cartoon. Though it may sound like science fiction, a small group of individuals claim messages from aliens arriving in spaceships include plenty of traditional religious teachings, too. leading them to believe that they're actually Buddhist. It's all happening 3 hours by road or rail north from Bangkok in Nakhon Sawan, which translates to City of Heaven. Without all of the UFO hype, it's just a laid-back small town, but followers believe that if you meditate on Khao Kala Hill outside of Nakhon Sawan, you could hear the talkative silver creatures as voices in your head, speaking whatever languages that your thoughts actually usually chatter. They do offer a disclaimer, though, saying that there is no guarantee you will see UFOs or aliens, which are described as unpredictable, speaking or appearing spontaneously and disappearing after a few hours. The group's activity have gotten them into trouble with Thai authorities in recent weeks. Government officials reportedly grew alarmed when UFO seekers began crowding onto Khao Kala Hill to see and talk with aliens, possibly endangering the area's official protected forest area status. Visitors are allowed to climb on top of the hill and view the large Buddha statue and nearby Buddha footprint, which are places of public worship, but the law forbids anyone from living or staying overnight in such zones, including previous UFO seekers who pitched tents at the site. In August, about 40 officials, including members of the forestry department, disbanded a group of Thai enthusiasts at the top of Khao Kala and petitioned a court to ban mass gatherings there. On September 20th, about 30 police and forestry officials confronted Wasana lead campaigner for the extraterrestrials, and about 60 other UFO enthusiasts. The group, wearing white clothing, planned to have a video made while members meditated atop the hill after sunset in hopes of mind melding with aliens, Wasana tells CNN Travel. Not wanting to be arrested, the UFO followers regrouped at the bottom of the hill on private property, meditated for a few hours, and departed, she says. As for origins of the hill's supposed attractiveness to extraterrestrials, believers say it all began in 1997 when retired Sergeant Major Churd Chunsamnaun, deep in Buddhist meditation at home, received mental messages from what he insisted were aliens. He told his family, and they scoffed. I asked my father to tell the aliens to show themselves, said Wasana, his daughter. The next day, the aliens sent energy to spin my brother and brother-in-law. She says the two men were yanked up from the living room sofa and spun simultaneously, like whirling dervishes, out of the house and into the yard. I have not read the words whirling dervishes in quite some time.
You should, because it seems like something you shouldn't miss out on. It's just fun to say it. Whirling dervishes.
Whirling dervishes.
That's right, Tim. They're just a pair of whirling dervishes.
I felt my legs and my arms had to spin, said Wasana's brother-in-law, Jerome Rapath. I could not control myself for 4 or 5 minutes. I didn't feel afraid, and we both spun outside. Through an upstairs window, Wasana's sister-in-law says she saw a UFO. It was about 10 or 15 meters long at treetop level, adds Wasana. Asked to reenact his spinning, Jerome twirls slowly around the living room with his arms out, but soon falls down and stays on the floor looking dazed. I feel dizzy, but when the UFO spun me, I didn't feel dizzy at all, he went on to say. Wasana, who quit her job as a nurse to champion the extraterrestrial, says her father continued to receive telepathic messages over the years. Before my father died in 2000, he taught us how to communicate with the aliens, she says. Today, she says more than 100 other Thais have this ability after practicing with her. Followers update or post updates and photos at the family's linked UFO Kaukala Facebook group and elsewhere, some insisting that they too have seen aliens and spaceships in the area. Most alien encounters are reported near the family's home on the outskirts of Nakhon Sawan at Kaukala Hill, amid sugarcane fields and Beng Borafet Lake, which villagers warn is crocodile-infested. Oh, that's all. It's just crocodile-infested.
No, that's all. Nothing but crocodiles to see here, folks.
Yeah. The aliens are described as slender little silvery humanoids. Illustrations depict them standing upright on two legs with two arms and a bulbous bald head with pointy face topped with a single antenna. Huge, glossy, almond-shaped black eyes gaze above a thin nose and miniature mouth. Believers say silvery spaceships appear festooned with colorful lights or resemble the domed circular retro UFOs seen in low-budget 1950s movies. There are two types of aliens, Wasana says. One group is from the planet Pluto. The others are from a planet named Loku. Pluto aliens are made of energy, can appear in a physical form, and are able to teach humans. Loku aliens have a physical body and knowledge of high technology, and they work together. Pluto aliens worry about something so devastating happening on Earth, such as war or in the environment, that it might impact their planet. They also want to give some people the ability to communicate with them, so if humans destroy everything in a nuclear war, the aliens will be able to help survivors rebuild human civilization. The planet Loku is in the Milky Way, but they didn't tell us where. Well, that's convenient. I mean, geez. The aliens' purported choice of Kaukala is unusual because it is the smallest among a cluster of loftier hills. Mediators say they are thankful that they don't have to climb very high to reach the top. Up there, a larger-than-life statue portrays Buddha protected by a mythical seven-headed Naga snake. Oh, there you go, Dave. That'd be quite interesting for you.
Yeah. Naga have a snake near me either.
Which has topped the hill for many years and was not associated with any UFOs before the family's tales. A 360-degree view from the hill includes flat sugarcane fields below, where Wasana and other believers say that they have seen aliens disembark a UFO, walk around, and then vanish in an atomized puff.
Pee on the Alamo and then vanish?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I've lived 10,000 years, Pluto's alien leader revealed in communiques purportedly channeled through Wasana during 1998 and 1999. How long does it take for me to travel from Pluto to here? I travel through dimensions. It's advanced physics. I travel with my mind, the leader went on to say. Well, yeah, duh. Wasana says Pluto's alien leader also told her that Buddha was the greatest human mind and never spoke to humans without paying attention to extraterrestrials or about trying to communicate with them, but did tell followers to embrace the cosmic laws. Mind-melding communiques from Pluto to Wasana include lots of advice about karma, reincarnation, greed, fear, and other Buddhist concerns, she says, as well as the altruistic thought bubble that you shouldn't worry about Earth's apocalypse from nuclear war, climate change, mutant diseases, or other catastrophes. Oh, we do have so much not to worry about. Technologically superior, benevolent aliens promise to take care of selected survivors. Or just selected survivors, by the way.
Not everybody can make it, Tim. There's got to be somebody left behind for us to think about.
I guess so. That's good news in the Southeast Asian country, where 95% of the population is Buddhist. It may also give followers legal and social protection if their UFO group gets too popular. Thai authorities and society frown on anything they perceive as a cult that veers too far from traditional religious beliefs and becomes influential. Buddhism is open to the possibility of extraterrestrials, ghosts, spirits, and other non-human life, but warns against being sucked into an invisible cul-de-sac of absurd illusions. When asked about Thais seeing UFOs and communicating with aliens, Buddhist scholar Virnit Rojanaprapa, who has a PhD in philosophy and religion from St. John's University in Bangkok, tells CNN Travel, "We don't need to know if it is real or not, if it's a fake story or if it's reality. Buddha taught us that maybe the one who says that he thinks he can directly speak with the alien or he believes he hears them or I guess that's the statement, but it is not, useful. It doesn't matter if he hears the alien or not. It does not help us for experiencing nirvana, says Virenat. We do not say if it is right or wrong if the human can speak to the alien, but please listen carefully. Most of the situations are only illusion. Nevertheless, Bangkok-based Ploy Baranasiri has been visiting Khao Kala for 9 years and says she's seen aliens and UFOs there several times. Asked what she would like to say to the aliens, she says, I would like to ask for a relocation to their planet, wouldn't we all? 32-year-old Sukwasa Mukpram visited Khao Kala more than 10 times during the past year and says, I want the aliens to send me the power to make me brave. And there you go. That's the story.
Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. Hi, Dave. Hi, Tim. I'm listening to your recent episode with Mark Brinkerhoff. And honestly, at first, I wasn't too sure. But then he mentioned as a child he knew he was from somewhere else and wanting to go home. You and all your glory said you too felt that way. I don't know why I'm summarizing your own episode. I'm positive you know what was said. This triggered a memory of being a child around 5 years old and also telling friends that I wasn't from here and that I wanted to go home. I had this deep longing of wanting to go home, which to me was somewhere above the sky. I loved my parents, but also felt a pull towards something more astral. Now I would call this goddess and God, but then it was like parents from somewhere else. I started this episode thinking, yeah, right, and have ended this episode with a much more open mind and a sense of kinship I didn't know I needed. Who knows? Maybe we are from somewhere else. Thanks for keeping my gray matter ever evolving. That comes from Tasha. P.S. Tim, I love you. Oh, I'll have your babies.
Really?
Wow.
I'm taking you up on it.
What, really?
I want a kid. Why not?
All right. Okay. Well, you heard him, Tasha. He's willing to sire your children. Just give him a call at his home phone number, 612.
Just email me.
Oh, I just thought this is such a big thing. I mean, it's having babies with
there's a screening,
a stranger.
There's a screening process.
Yeah. Oh, there's a screen. You said you'd take her up on it.
Now, I would, but you know, we gotta start with written communication first.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, or do you want her to maybe just stop by the house and show her wares at 3-1? No,
Dave, we can start with pictures.
What?
That's fine. Pictures by email first. Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's one way to do it. Tim at darknessradio.com. Yeah, let him know. Apparently, ladies, if you want to spawn with Tim, his seat is up for grabs. Tim is willing to be the Johnny Appleseed of the paranormal. He wants to outdo me, apparently. So,
I have a ways to go. I mean, we're
not with this attitude. Like, if you just sprinkle all your seeds at once, you may get a whole flock.
I still have a ways to go, Dave. I mean, it's... Jeez.
Well, it is with that attitude.
You're up to like a football team now, aren't you?
I am beyond a football team. Jesus. Beyond. Man. Yeah, there's so many things that I've got going that and I can't sell them. Nobody wants the damn things.
No,
they smell like Schrader's. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service where you can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand all for free. No credit card needed, no sign up. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. You can download Pluto TV for free on your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, hell, anywhere else that you stream. Take advantage of it now. Free TV, folks. Pluto TV. We'll be back. We've got more supernatural news, more of your stories to share right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Pro wrestling fans, listen up. WWE Hall of Famer and one of the greatest to ever step between the ropes, Jerry the King Lawler, is coming to Podcast One with the Jerry Lawler Show. Join the King and his co-host, Sean Reedy, as they get together to reflect on Jerry's legendary career from Memphis to the WWE to just about everywhere else. The King will share his thoughts on the current wrestling product and might even have a few guests stop by. Download new episodes of the Jerry Lawler Show every Friday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. And if you love the show, tell your friends and leave a rating and review.
Beyond the Darkness.
Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. And don't forget, not only can you hear me right here on Saturdays and Sundays with Beyond the Darkness, check out my other show, Midnight in the Desert, Monday through Friday. We explore more facets of the supernatural. You can get information at midnightinthedesert.com. Tim, quick movie review.
Yeah.
Right? It's October.
Yes, it is.
Horror movie month. Everybody's looking for the next slash and dash horror film.
Yes.
I have it for you.
Really?
Rambo, Last Blood.
Rambo?
Holy sheep dip. I kid you not, this fudge eater is unbelievable.
Seriously, Rambo?
It makes Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger and Pinhead look like they're playing bridge.
Rambo?
Yes. This is violent to the nth degree. His kill schemes are better than anything you saw in Saw. It's pretty outstanding for horror violence, movie violence stuff. I'm surprised it wasn't rated X, to be honest with you.
Really?
The violence is crazy. It's an interesting story. It's nothing new, but it's Rambo. Watching John Rambo come back, I'm all for it. You know, originally they were talking about it, Rambo kind of being pitted up against a Predator-like character, some kind of alien that he would have to battle. And then they scrapped that idea and decided just to kind of take a page out of Liam Neeson's Taken movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but this has got a different, definitely a different vibe, a different story, a different feel to it. So but it's good. And if you like those hack and dash horror movies, you're going to love Rambo Last Blood. Out of 5 stars, I give it a solid 4 stars.
Really?
Now, not everybody's going to like the violence because it is brutal, but they do such a good job of building up the villains like they did in the last Rambo movie. It's cartoony, over-the-top violence, but your characters are so vile and so bad, they deserve everything that they get. Everything. And there might be a little tinge of the supernatural or spiritual at the end of the movie, Tim. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they've left it open that should this blow up and make a lot of money, they might have Rambo come back for another movie. But they also ended it in a way that seemed very spiritual, Tim. If you pick up what I'm putting down, there might be there might not be a ghost of a chance Rambo will be back in a movie, Tim, is all I'm saying, Tim.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's up to interpretation. Not interpretive dance. Totally different thing. It's up to interpretation. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of interpretation, what shall we interpret next in the world of supernatural news? Where are we going?
Well, this one's kind of odd. This actually has to have to do with the home market. iBuyer Bungalow is now screening homes for Paranormal Activity. Throughout October, Bungalow will screen all its homes for ghosts, ghouls, and things that go bump in the night. If ghosts and poltergeists are not something you want in your new home, have no fear. Bungalow, a one-year-old iBuyer platform backed by Austin-based Amherst Holdings, is celebrating Halloween by hiring experts to screen all its listed homes for supernatural creatures. The iBuyer platform, which lists houses in Charlotte, Dallas, and Tampa, will bring in paranormal investigators to do a thorough supernatural check, along with its usual third-party and 160-point inspections. Bungalow launched last year and boasts $1 billion in financing. The best things about October are cooler weather and Halloween, bungalow president Deb Bradley told Inman. So while every bungalow home is thoroughly inspected before it's listed, we decided to take our inspection process one step further this month and provide buyers with peace of mind of another kind. The paranormal experts who have appeared on such shows as Ghost Adventures and Ghost Stories on the Travel Channel will screen each home. There we go. For things, they'll scream as well if they find something. We'll screen each home for things like unusual electric fields, unexplained movement, and hidden presence, and then issue a paranormal inspection report with the results. Bradley said that while they wanted to tie their paranormal screening program to Halloween, many of their clients are seriously interested in whether the home they want to buy has a history of strange sightings. According to their research, 86% of home buyers want to make sure that their purchase does not have any future headaches or expenses. We took our time in hiring credible paranormal investigators and then having them clear any spirits or provide completed inspection reports, Bradley said. The goal here is to give our buyers real peace of mind. Kind of interesting.
That's cool. Yeah, that's definitely an interesting vibe to it.
Now, here's an interesting question. You know, in states where you do have to list whether a home is haunted or not, it'd be an interesting service to have a paranormal investigator go through it and verify whether it is haunted or not.
Yeah, but wonder what kind of shenanigans that opens up for you. Let's say you go in as an investigator and nothing happens. You stamp off on it and say this place isn't haunted.
True.
And then meanwhile, the family's like, oh, you know what? Let's go to the antique store and pick up a corner piece for the house. And they put it in and maybe there's something attached to that. Liability-wise, how do you prove where the spirits came from? What happened if you sign off and say this house is clear, and it turns out there's paranormal activity? What do you do? What do you do, Tim?
That's right. Then where does the liability fall? That's just what I was going to bring up with you. Is if you bring something in with you from an object that may be haunted, or if you go and buy something and move it in that may be haunted, where does the liability fall when a report is already signed off on that says the house is supposedly clear? It's kind of an interesting subject.
And let me mention before I forget, I don't know, I didn't bring it up earlier. Michelle Bellanger will be our guest tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
By the way, we're going to talk about Salem Live. We're going to talk about the real witch stories and talk other aspects of the paranormal. Michelle's always a great guest to catch up with. So she'll be on tomorrow with us here on Beyond the Darkness. All right. I've got another story to share.
Oh, yeah.
You ready for this?
Ready.
Hey, Dave. I was checking out some of your older shows, and you opened with dialing people in on orbs. And that good chance that it's dust and that has been kicked up before the photo or video had been taken. Well, I had something like this happen to me, and I think you'll appreciate this take, seeing I think you're a man of God, or at least you want to be like most. My backstory is too long and mega complicated, so I'll leave it out, but this last winter, I'd felt drained and under attack by the darkness. Plenty of dark signs and an attempted demonic contact through, of all things, Facebook. Ha ha, yeah, I know. Well, I was being drained and needed help. Gather your forces, young man, for the darkness is upon you. Man, it's too bad that was used in the Bible, because that would be a great liner for the show, Tim. So I heeded this warning and called upon my witchy friends and, of course, the big guy, the man upstairs himself. Things evened out eventually, but still I felt oppressed. Christmas was great, blew right through the holidays without the bad guys on my ass, still tied down, I felt. Anyway, the wife and I took our young kids out to the local New Year's Eve festivities. They have a great fireworks display, which I videoed on my iPhone. We wrapped the night up, headed home, and put the kids to bed. While laying there, the wife and I watched some photos and videos, and there, bam, the sign. While the fireworks went off, there was a green light floating around the sky, dancing and zipping around. I said to the wife, there it is, the star. It's there. I'm on the path. See, I believe that a lot of these lights in the sky are like the days of old, guiding lights, like the Star of Bethlehem. Yep, there I was. There it was, there to help, I said, and the weight lifted. I became powerful again. The dark encounter, I smashed it to where it came from. I was back to normal. Then a couple of months later, I came to find out that those lights and all the dancing, would happen to everyone. There wasn't anything special about it at all. What an idiot I was. Or was I? So it was just a trick of the phone camera. Is that what it is? Or was it what I needed when I needed it? How was the weight lifted? Did the man upstairs give me a kick in the ass I needed to push back? So I ask you, if these people who see these orbs and it gives them hope or directs them, does it matter if it's just dust or if it's false? Maybe it's what they needed when they needed it, too. Keep answering the call there, Dave, the scribe. Here's the deal, scribe. I'm with you on that. But, you know, when people ask me specifically, what do you think of this? And they show me an orb photograph, I explain what I believe it to be with a scientific slant. Dust, moisture, particulates in the air. Now, if you came up to me and said, I think I have a picture of my grandmother who came to visit, I'm not going to take away your theory. Because if that brings you peace and happiness, I want you to be peace and full of peace and full of happiness. And I can't say for certain that that isn't spiritual energy. I just don't personally believe that orbs are ghosts. So that's my take on it. I could be wrong. I know it's hard to believe, Tim. I've been wrong before.
Mm.
Not often, though.
I don't think in this one you are, though.
So that's that. Where are we off to next in the world of supernatural news?
We're going to England, Dave. We're going.
Dun, 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 dun.
I think you got that one right for a change.
Woo!
Yeah. Ghost tours are canceled in England's most haunted village after the local vicar complained that they were not Christian and threatened to sabotage them.
What?
Now, is there such a thing as a Christian ghost tour?
Well, yeah, I think it's called going to church. Right? You're hearing about ghosts and resurrections.
There's
and
a Holy Spirit.
Speaking of angels. It's yeah. All kind of a paranormal tour.
Might be. Ghost tours of England's most haunted village have been canceled after the vicar complained and threatened to sabotage them. The Gloucestershire village of Prestbury is well known for its ghouls and paranormal activity, with tales of hooded figures haunting residents and phantom noises in the dead of night. For years, tourists have traveled from far and wide to experience the Cotswold Ghost Tour around the village. But owner, 45-year-old Mike James, has been forced to scrap his tours after a run-in with the local vicar. The last one will run on November 9th to honor a previous booking. Reverend Nick Bromfeld says the spooky visits are not Christian. And after finding a hen party on the driveway of his vicarage, he is fed up with them. The 59-year-old Reverend Bromfield said, frankly, ghost tours have no part in a place of Christian worship, and they don't belong in a Christian churchyard. We don't want people's stories about ghosts, specters, poltergeists. It is not good for families, nor is it good for the many children we are blessed to welcome every week. I was saddened to see our church used as a backdrop to promote ghost tours to children. He claims he has often seen tourists posing next to tombstones. Mr. James says he doesn't see the issue and claims the vicar left him an angry voicemail trying to book himself onto a tour to disrupt them. He added he said he was going to go on one of our tours with a veiled threat of disrupting it. I don't really understand why he's taken such offense to storytelling. Ghost stories take place all over the world. Why is Prestbury different? It felt like a personal vendetta to disrupt my business. It's a series of unsubstantiated claims against us, which our guides and I have been quite offended by, he went on to say. They're claims that would take more time than I have to sort out, so I backed down, but there's no sense of bitterness. It is what it is. He claimed the voicemail was left 2 days ago. He said Reverend Nick, said he was going to come to our next tour to discuss the issues. I'm not going to be there, but one of the guides will be. We are quite concerned about it. That kind of presence isn't appropriate. Reverend Bromfield confirmed he left a message with Mr. James saying he would observe the next tour, but denied it was a threat to disrupt it. He said, I left a message saying that when the next tour happens, in view of our concerns about safeguarding, we would be in the church so we could observe how they act in the yard. I have no interest in disrupting ghost tours. We are disappointed that it's come to this, but we feel that the church is being exploited. The tours have been conducted by Blue Badge Guides, who are qualified and regulated by the Institute of Tourist Guiding. The Reverend claims the pair had a meeting last year and came to an agreement on the nature and location of the tours. He said, "We've had enough. The stories were being delivered in a way I wasn't comfortable with. Without them knowing, they would be stood near recent graves, which isn't something a mourning family wants to come across. I met with the managing director, and we had a good discussion. He agreed that tours would not happen in the churchyard. They also agreed to remove some of the more fantastical elements of their stories. The Reverend maintains his church, St. Mary's, was used in the background of promotional images, and this has thrown up safeguarding issues. He claims he then tried to get in touch with the company again several times before hearing that the tours had been canceled yesterday. 65-year-old retired GP David Lyle grew up in the Prestbury, which is located just outside Cheltenham and has a population of around 6,900. He said he spent his childhood being told ghost stories, but has never seen any proof of ghoulish goings-on. He said Prestbury has developed this reputation of having the highest number of ghosts. If you go onto Google and search ghosts in the UK, it will be a top hit. People are now coming across the world here, whereas decades ago, it was just people having a bit of fun. Having grown up here and been a doctor here, I have never seen a ghost personally. The tours have been conducted by Blue Badge Guides, who are qualified and regulated by the Institute of Tourist Guiding. The news that the tours had been canceled caused a stir online, with some quick to debunk any ghoulish myths. One said, "Waste of time trying to explain the very simple science that destroys the daft paranormal claims. Adherence will not be swayed just like every other superstition." Another comment said, "Batteries that fail on a cold, dark night, for instance, simple chemistry. They're orbs, quote-unquote, defocused flying insects and or camera flare." Another quote says, "Creaking stairs, wood returning to its natural state after being stressed." Another added, "So one superstition is scared of another. 'Twas ever thus and has caused so much suffering and death over the centuries. All because my sky pixie is better than yours. When will people ever grow up?"
Wasn't that the name of our techno band, Sky Pixies?
Yes, the Sky Pixies. Yeah, yeah. And I believe that was our first single, "My Sky Pixie is Better Than Yours."
I go, I go, I ne. All right. Yes, folks, by the way, you did hear that right. Tim is willing to spawn with you. All you have to do is email him, tim@darkradio.com.
You are really pushing aren't you?
Spreading his seed. He wants to father a nation.
Wow. I didn't say father a nation.
Why? All of a sudden you're going to back up? You're gonna give up? Come on. What, Quitty Quitterton?
You're sending me over. It's like you're sending me over to the Netherlands.
Over there. Just offering. That'd be fun.
You're sending me on pilgrimage, it sounds like now.
Duh.
Yeah.
So that's it. All right, where are we off to next?
This one looks like a Hollywood story, Dave. Light from Light. A trailer's now come out about a grounded ghost story like you've never seen before. If the jump scares and horror set pieces from Paranormal Activity or the Conjuring franchises were exchanged for an authentic reckoning of the tangled emotions the departed may have or may leave behind, you have something close to Light from Light. There's a palpable tension to this story of paranormal investigating, but rather than injecting the expected terror, the film's power lies in never seeing ghost hunting depicted so grounded and character-driven before. Following its Sundance premiere, Grasshopper Film has released the first trailer ahead of a theatrical release next month. In a review that was released, it said this is the kind of film where the minutiae of insurance policies are discussed before any haunting may begin. Those going into Paul Hamill's second feature, Looking for Frights, will be rewarded with something more substantial, an experience rich with atmosphere and humanity and drama, ultimately more enlightening than the cheap thrills that pervade the dime a dozen ghost stories we've seen before. This movie, actually, I think we've talked about it before, stars Jim Gaffigan and Maren Ireland. And it, like I said, it actually features ghost hunting in a more realistic setting. And the setup for it is gifted with sometimes prophetic dreams and a lifelong interest in the paranormal. Sheila, who's played by Maren Ireland, is asked to investigate a potential haunting at a Tennessee farmhouse. It's there that she meets Jim Gaffigan's character, Richard, a recent widower who believes his wife may still be with him. The investigation that ensues, which eventually pulls in Sheila's son, Owen, played by Josh Wiggins, and his classmate, Lucy, played by Athena Frizzell, forces them to confront the mysteries of their own lives. Light from Light opens on November 1st in New York at the Quad Cinema, November 8th in Los Angeles at Landmark's Newark, and other theaters shortly after that in a limited run.
All right, very cool. Where are we off to next?
Next, we are going to Michigan, to the GAR Museum, which is a haven for Civil War spirits. And now you can investigate it. We go to Eaton Rapids. I'm not eating any rapids, if you ask me. Ghost hunters are on the lookout for century-old spirits of long-dead Civil War Union soldiers, and it can start their search in Eaton Rapids this month. For more than three decades, the Italianate two-story red brick building at 224 South Main Street in the city's downtown was a gathering place for more than 450 Civil War Union veterans. Built in 1886, the James B. Brainerd Post 111 Grand Army of the Republic Hall was where members met, socialized, and listened to music. Their wives, members of the Women's Relief Corps, had a space there too. After the last Civil War veteran died and the GAR was disbanded in 1956, the historic building housed a hardware store, bowling alley, and dance school. Today, it is home to Michigan's only Grand Army of the Republic Memorial Hall and Museum. Over 4,700 historical artifacts and records are kept inside, where hand-painted portraits of Union generals and sepia-toned photos of GAR members hang on the walls. The building is a haven for Civil War history. It's also a place where unexplained voices sometimes answer back when questions are asked aloud in the dark, and where a second-floor piano once seemed to play three notes by itself. Those who are curious will get a chance to experience a century-old space at night for themselves during an October 19th paranormal investigation that will raise funds to restore an aging mural displayed inside the building. In the last 6 years, Keith Harrison has spent countless hours inside the GAR Museum. As president and director of the nonprofit that runs it, he said his wife often jokingly refers to the building as his home away from home. Harrison has given tours to community groups and visitors off the street alike and says that it's not a frightening place to explore. Still, he can't explain some of the things he's heard and experienced there. There have been some things that have happened, Harrison said, just little things. I've heard things and you feel sometimes that something's around, but it's always very nice. Whether the museum is or isn't haunted, Harrison doesn't know. 3 years ago, when a local ghost hunter suggested organizing a paranormal investigation at the property to raise money for museum projects, the nonprofit board readily agreed, he said. We figured, well, why not? The first event, organized with the help of the Capital Area Paranormal Research Society, brought in 30 guests for a nighttime investigation. Audio recordings of the event uncovered things that no one could explain, including voices that seemed to be answering questions that participants had asked while exploring the property. What do you think of the WRC, the Women's Relief Corps area? A museum board member asked during that first event. And they heard, too small, Harrison said. The thing is, the area it's considerably smaller than it originally was because of walls. We have a bathroom up there and an archive area. They had one-third of the upper portion of the building, and what we have now is a representation of the WRC area. Harrison went on to say, hearing that was humbling. It sort of burst our bubble, he also went on to say. Capital Area Paranormal Research Society co-founder Douglas Swix said there's a logical explanation for 80% of the strange things his organization has investigated over the last 8 years. For the other 20%, there isn't. When you actually go out and do a ghost hunt, you're sitting in the dark for a long time asking a bunch of questions, Swix went on to say. It's different every time. There are cases when we find one or two things. There are cases when nothing happens. Participants in the October 19th paranormal investigation, with room to accommodate 40 people, will get an after-hours tour of the building from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Swix said the property hasn't disappointed during past events, in the two separate investigations at the GAR Museum over 2 years. Audio recordings revealed voices and ghost hunting equipment picked up unexplained activity, he went on to say. Haunted? It's possible, Swick said. Paranormal activity? Yes. Things have happened that we can't explain. Swix has no particular theory about the spirits that might occupy the building, but Harrison believes that they could be long-dead members of the GAR post and its Women's Relief Corps. The paranormal activity here is about the Grand Army of the Republic and the Women's Relief Corps, Harrison said. I like to think that since we're bringing it back to what it was, that they appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, no, it is. It's very, very intriguing. The museum's located at 224 South Main Street in Eaton Rapids, and that investigation's from 8 to 11 on Saturday, October 19th.
All right. Where shall we go next, sir?
We are headed to another program on A&E, talking about the Pennhurst Asylum, the record-breaking program about the Pennhurst Asylum. It's the world's biggest ghost hunt. Spring City, Pennsylvania. That's where we're headed. Delaware Valley residents aren't the only ones taken in with the spookiness and history on the famed grounds of Pennhurst Asylum. A&E has announced plans to premiere a record-breaking special on Pennhurst Asylum later this month, bringing the regional favorite to a national audience. And that's not all. The special is the longest ghost hunt ever recorded in television history, according to the network. World's biggest ghost hunt, Pennhurst Asylum, will premiere on October 30th at 8 p.m., serving as a lead-up to the season finale of the network's popular paranormal series, Ghost Hunters. The special's runtime is listed at 2 hours. The special will feature a paranormal investigation run by a team of 5 investigators who locked themselves inside the asylum for 2 weeks. Here's how filmmakers described that project. With reports of full-body apparitions, physical attacks, mysterious noises, and more, the owner has granted the team unprecedented access to the entire 110-acre property, including areas that have never been investigated. In the most ambitious investigation Pennhurst has ever seen, the team will use cutting-edge technology and their varied expertise to investigate the institution's haunted grounds for television's longest ghost hunt yet. Back in 2016, TLC's Paranormal Lockdown claimed to set a record for the longest ghost hunt film for TV when they spent 100 hours filming their investigation inside the notorious Black Monk House in England. Pennhurst, located on 1205 Commonwealth Drive, was a state-run mental institution for 79 years until its closure in 1987. Its history of controversy as a rumored testing ground for immoral experiments fed into its haunted mystique, and after years of abandonment and serving as a magnet for teen mischief, it reopened as a haunted attraction. That's the end of that story. There you go. So October 30th, Dave, 8 p.m. is when that special airs, the world's biggest ghost hunt on A&E.
Right, yeah, and Allie, one of our listeners, is actually one of the 5 cast members of that show.
Very cool. Very cool.
She learned about it from us, from this show. So you see, listen, folks, we might be able to clue you in on how you can get on TV and be a part of these programs. All right, where are we off to next?
Well, the attention shoppers, if you're a shopper, there's a ghost in the well of this Manhattan clothing store, and it can be yours for $5.95. No, I'm kidding. I'm not selling a ghost. New York City is a city that never sleeps, even for the dead. Deep in the heart of one of the New York's hippest neighborhoods, among the fine dining and high-end shopping, lies a chilling mystery. If you go to New York's Soho District, it was once the home of famous faces like David Bowie and Kelly Ripa, artist Jean-Michel Basquiat, and soccer star Thierry Henry. But the neighborhood's perhaps most famous tenant refuses to leave. That's the spirit of a scorned young lover. At 129 Spring Street, paranormal enthusiasts can still find a beautiful brick well in the basement of the clothing store COS. It's been around since the 1700s, actually, and while unusable, it looks just as attractive as the fashions on display. However, its history as the site of a tragic death is much more alluring. on December 22nd, 1799, 21-year-old, I believe it's Gilema Elmore Sands, snuck out of her Greenwich Street tenement, unaware of the fate that was awaiting her. She went off to meet her secret sweetheart, Levi Weeks. It was the last time the young lady was ever seen alive. On January 2nd, 1800, her body was discovered inside the now infamous Spring Street Well. Sands' body was found with strangulation marks on her neck, a sensational detail that led to her trial to become the first in a long history of tabloid crimes in the city. The media dubbed the case the Manhattan Well Murder. Weeks, suspected of killing his lady love, was arrested and charged with homicide. The case captured the fascination of the community and fueled the rumor mill, with busybodies suggesting that Weeks had impregnated the victim. And Sands' own family even displayed her corpse outside their boarding home, which only fanned... Yeah, I know, a little bit morbid. Which only fanned the flames of fury against Weeks. Weeks' wealthy and affluent uncle helped put up the money to get him top legal representation. He ended up securing one of the city's and the young country's best teams at the time, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. Hey, didn't they shoot each other?
Yeah, that didn't work out well for that team.
No, not exactly. They were kind of like Martin and Lewis, I think. The famed pair claimed that Sands was suicidal and Weeks was eventually able to walk free. The jury found him innocent in her death. After the contentious verdict came down, one of Sands' relatives reportedly screamed at Hamilton, "I call upon the Almighty to curse you all, and he will do it." And one of Sands' friends also reportedly screamed, "If thee dies a natural death, I shall think there is no justice in heaven." While the law rendered Weeks innocent, the court of public opinion forced him to flee town and settle in Mississippi. As Weeks moved on from that life-changing night, Sands' spirit remained. It is said she began haunting the area in search of the justice that was owed to her. But even though Sands' spirit was stuck in a limbo over her death, the natural world kept turning. The well became surrounded by transformation as the years passed and Manhattan grew. Structures were built on top of the well and became the site of various businesses, a tobacco addiction specialist, a German beer hall, and a carpenter shop. All of the occupants kept the storied well from public view. Eventually, the well was buried in sand, dirt, and concrete as the city raised the street level in the 20th century. But no matter how much Spring Street changed, what endured was the presence of a paranormal being. Young men and maidens who pass the spot late at night testify that they can hear her scream as she vainly implores her lover for her life. That was reported in American Magazine in 1895. The aggrieved spirit became known as the Spring Street Ghost. The building on top of the well became a popular restaurant called Manhattan Bistro in the 1950s. Rumors had always circulated that the Spring Street Ghost roamed the restaurant, but it wasn't until the 1980s that the owners decided to investigate. In their basement, as they trudged through the dirt and sand, they discovered the well, buried with its secrets for decades. Throughout the restaurant's time on Spring Street, employees claimed that they had seen items spontaneously fly off tables and crash into walls. Bottles would reportedly fall off shelves, and lights would turn on and off by themselves. I've seen ashtrays just fly off the table and crash into the wall, one former employee told the New York Post in 2001. Maybe Elma's ghost doesn't like smoking. And down in the basement of the restaurant where the well could be found, workers reported seeing flying swirls of mist. An apparition of a woman with long hair resembling Sands was also spotted. According to both employees and patrons, the spirit was described as sometimes wearing a long dress, and other times covered in seaweed and water, as if she had just emerged from the depths of the well.
How creepy is that?
Very, very. Manhattan Bistro closed in 2014, and COS opened in December of that year, proudly showcasing the well as part of the store's aesthetic. Well, if you can't beat them, join them. Matt Anderson, who is the head of the men's design for COS, joked in 2014 with the New York Post about the Spring Street ghost, saying, "So we have a ghost, our own COS ghost." Oh, they just worked her into the aesthetic. We imagined it being dressed in all white, a modern minimalist ghost. Somehow I just think of Matt Anderson as having kind of this prickish accent. We are incredibly proud to have restored the well and left it exposed on our shop floor for our customers to enjoy and see, COS Communication Director Amy Furs told InsideEdition.com. In 2017, New York City Department of Records and Information Services conceded that 129 Spring Street was in fact haunted.
Well, that's pretty good. Some pretty good backup on it, at least.
Yeah.
A lot of weird stuff. All right, where are we off to next?
Let's see here. Next, interestingly enough, we continue on to TV, where Ghost Adventures host Zach Bagans has bought some more memorabilia this time. It's a large amount of Ghostbusters memorabilia. Zach Bagans just dropped an incredible amount of money on Ghostbusters memorabilia. The 42-year-old Bagans will most likely display the items in his Las Vegas Haunted Museum. They reported amount $310,000.
What?
Yeah, $310,000, David.
What?
It must pay to be in TV.
Holy what?
Yeah. Zach went on to say, quote, "I am a diehard Ghostbusters fan." Evidently he is. And being able to actually own the screen-used Hero Ghost Trap prop used for all the close-up and special effect scenes in both Ghostbusters film is like a dream come true. Zach continued, "I grew up watching Ghostbusters and wanted to be one. Look at what I'm doing now." Well, he's buying the stuff. Zach jokingly added that instead of hunting Slimer like the Ghostbusters, he's hunting real ghosts and demons. Bagans is also a huge fan of the late Harold Ramis, who played Egon Spengler. Ramis passed away in 2014. Zach shared that he has Ramis's whole costume, actually, from Ghostbusters on display in his haunted museum now. It's right next to the ghost trap where Zach says it belongs. He says it's there for all paranormal fans to appreciate. So which props did Bagans get with that $310,000? Well, Daily
the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, the Statue of Liberty, the entire building that they were on, $310,000.
Yeah, get ready for this, Dave. Daily News shared that Zach dropped $230,000 alone just to purchase the Hero Ghost Trap prop. That was just for that prop. In addition to the trap, Zach also purchased Harold Ramis's entire jumpsuit, including his utility belt, boots, and a proton pack shell. Zach said of Ramis, "I was sad when he passed away, but I think he would think it's very cool to have his whole costume on display at my haunted museum." Aside from purchasing props for his new Ghostbusters display at the haunted museum, Zach has been busy filming Ghost Adventures. The new season kicked off this past weekend. It will include the yearly Halloween special Ghost Adventures has been famous for. The Halloween special this year will be called Ghost Adventures Curse of the Harrisville Farmhouse, and will follow the investigators as they venture into the real-life home that inspired the iconic Conjuring films. Andrea Perrin, who lived in the iconic house years ago, will give an interview during the special about her time living there. The couple who recently purchased the home is also reporting strange occurrences. When Zach is not filming for the hit Travel Channel show, he's collecting paranormal items for his museum. Zach's most recent purchase is huge. He purchased the Manson Murder House. I think this is a little, it's not the Manson Murder House, but it's one of them.
Well, it's one of the two Manson Murder Houses.
Yeah, one of the two.
La Bianca Murder.
Yeah, Murder House. The season's already underway. New season of Ghost Adventures is already underway on Travel Channel. So there you go.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. What's next, sir?
An Atlanta couple believes in ghosts after spending the night at the Reed House. This is the first time that the hotel has allowed guests to stay in room 311 since the renovation. One Atlanta couple stayed overnight in a haunted room at the Reed House in Chattanooga. They arrived not believing in ghosts, but after Thursday night's stay, they now believe in paranormal activity. This is the first time the hotel has allowed guests to stay in room 311 since the renovation. It has been said paranormal activity goes on in the room, leaving many guests wanting to stay the night. Hotel management says the ghost of a woman who was allegedly beheaded in room 311 during the 1920s still haunts it today. It was very disturbing, said Sheba Gorman, who stayed overnight in 311. Sheba Gorman and her husband, Trip Gorman, drove from Atlanta to Chattanooga as the first guest to stay overnight since the room was restored. They paid a symbolic price to stay the night, $666.67. 666, Trip Gorman told Channel 3. Legend has it that Annalisa Netherly was a hotel guest in the 20s who was beheaded in a bathtub by a jealous lover. Hotel management says her ghost has unfinished business. I did get a very heavy, kind of sad feeling from this place, said Sheba. The couple says it was a sleepless night in room 311, hearing voices, the sound of scratching, and even getting touched. She said, I feel something grabbing my wrist, and then it happened and stopped, Tripp recalled. The couple said they felt something pushing against the bed. They believe it was the ghost of Annalisa Netherly. Sheba said, I just kept seeing things move in the corner of my eye. Tripp said he had just left the living room, and when he came back, drawers were wide open. Tripp went on to say, I stop and I look at it, and I'm like, wait, and I run back in, and I'm like, baby, are you messing with me? I slid back in, but oh my God, I was shaking for about 10 minutes. The Gorman said if they didn't believe in ghosts before, they sure do now. The Reed House is located at 107 West MLK Boulevard in downtown Chattanooga.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, I'd love to check that place out. All right. I know we're rounding the corner. Our final few stories. Where are we off to next?
This next one, a man launches a paranormal investigation after animals are found mysteriously butchered. There have been reports that deer have been found with their ears removed and sheep have had organs taken out. Paranormal investigations are about to begin in an East Yorkshire village after speculations that animals were found with their ears cut off and their organs removed with laser precision. Reports have been made over the past few weeks of deer found in Bempton with their ears removed, but no other explanation as to their death, with no blood found on the scene, Dave. It is also believed that sheep have been found with some of their internal organs removed with expert butchery skills, but again, no blood found on the scene. One man is now on a mission to get to the bottom of what has been happening in the area, including Bempton and nearby Flixton, as he believes it is a signal of paranormal or extraterrestrial activity. Well, it could be extracurricular too. Mark Vernon, who has been investigating the paranormal for decades, said farmers have been losing a lot of animals recently, some with their organs and precise patches of skin removed. I will be visiting these killing fields this week and looking at the woodlands, and I believe there's also an underground bunker which I want to investigate. I want to entice whatever it is out and capture it on film. Bempton is known as a UFO hotspot anyway, and while I deal in mainly ghosts, I want to help get rid of whatever is mutilating the animals. I don't believe in werewolves, but this is certainly something akin to mutilations in America that have been linked to UFOs. Hailing from Wakefield, Mark says he saw his first ghost at the age of 10 when he was in the grounds of a dilapidated manor house and watched as a monk took his dog for a walk before they faded into nothingness. He has since investigated the likes of Hull's Anison Funeral Parlor and 30 East Drive in Pontefract. 8 years ago, Mark was cleansing a family home when he captured an unknown figure walking through the wall of his cellar. Mark spent the next 6 years visiting the house, staying in the cellar overnight and speaking with the entity, who he claims turned out to be a Sumerian demon called Kara. Kara is my bodyguard, said the 54-year-old. We became friends over the years, and she protects me when I am on paranormal investigations. Kara is not a ghost, so she has never been a human. She has been here a lot longer than us. She often speaks in Sumerian, which is one of the oldest languages in the world, and while she isn't attached to me as such, she does appear when I need protection. According to Mark, Kara arrived to help him when he was at a particularly hostile investigation in 2015. A family in South Kirby, Wakefield, had been left so terrified to go upstairs they resorted to sleeping in the living room after claiming to hear ghosts playing with toys, slamming doors, and flushing the toilet. Kara came to me to cleanse the house because the family were so terrified, said Mark. I believe when it comes to getting rid of a nasty or evil spirit, you need an even scarier one to do the job for you. That's what Kara is, and she will be coming with me to East Yorkshire to make sure I'm not savaged or bitten by whatever is killing these animals. Whatever is getting these animals is hitting them with such speed, some of their internal organs have imploded, and I'm determined to find out what it is.
Sheesh.
Fighting fire.
Yeah, I don't know
fire.
If it's doing that to animals, what's it going to do to you if you piss whatever it is off?
I don't know, but evidently he's got a Sumerian demon named Kara.
Oh, that's at least a nice comforting name.
I guess, yeah.
Oh, good God. All right, where are we off to next?
I believe this is the last story. We're headed to Peoria, where police are responding to a report of an exorcism. Peoria, Illinois is where we're headed. The Peoria Police Department responded to a report of a man claiming exorcism was performed in his house. On Monday, police went to a home on North Farmington Road. Upon arrival, a man said two people were in his home, and then an exorcism was performed 2 days before that. A police officer talked with a neighbor who said the man was acting extremely odd, and he was talking about demons being inside his residence. The officer eventually saw the man in the back of the house holding a machete. He put it down when asked and then took the cop to his basement. According to the police reports, the officer believed the man was hallucinating and possibly smoked some kind of spice or K2. Emergency services arrived, and crews also believed the man was suffering from a drug-induced state, causing him to hallucinate. Before the man was transported to a local hospital, the officer searched him for any weapons and found a small white pill in his pocket, which was identified as the old oxycodone, Dave. That'll get you every time. The officer searched the house to see if anyone else was inside and located a potpourri bag. He said it appeared as if the man may have been smoking the potpourri.
No.
Yes.
Smoking potpourri.
Smoking potpourri.
Huh.
You want to stay out of grandma's potpourri basket.
I guess so.
That'll make you see the devil every time.
Oh, man. How much for a satchel, man? Any one of them satchels of potpourri. How much you got? Oh, no, man. Don't give me the ones with the pine cones. I don't want no pine cones.
Grandma has lots of it.
Oh, good God. Is that it?
That's it.
We're done, folks. That's it for Supernatural News Parashare today. Give us a call, 651-300-4977. Share your stories with us. We especially want to hear them this month. Whether you've had scary ghost stories, funny ghost stories, heartwarming, maybe you've had an encounter with Bigfoot, aliens, UFOs, time slips, Ouija boards. We want to hear them all. 651-300-4977 is the number to call and be a part of Beyond the Darkness.